In the will of the Lord, an event is to take place here next month, the desired outcome of which will have a profound significance for the church here for years to come. That event is the congregational meeting that has been mentioned now and again over the past number of months. Whenever the communicant membership of the church will have the opportunity and the responsibility of choosing additional elders and deacons to the offices here in the church. The elders overseeing the whole work of God, particularly the spiritual, and the deacons overseeing the material aspect of God's work. Each body, the congregation as a whole, that is the church, membership as a whole, the session made up of elders, the committee comprised of deacons, has tremendous significance and importance attached to it. And on three Sunday mornings here, between now and the Wednesday night in October, whenever our congregational meeting will take place, we will be giving consideration to each of these bodies, the membership, the diaconate or the committee, and the eldership or the session. Now today we want to be dealing with the importance of the church member in the church membership and its role and responsibility of electing these office bearers. So this takes in the whole membership by and large. Now as we look of this passage in Acts chapter 6, and you know that we have looked at it over the years whenever there has been an election, and we have felt the need to do that because it does give us some direction whenever we come to a congregational vote, and particularly with regard to the committee. But it's not the committee aspect as such that I want to emphasize today from this passage. It's the role of the membership of the church with regard to these offices that we have to see here. And I want you to notice, first of all, from this passage, and with regard to the membership, particularly the church at Jerusalem here, which is the same for any congregation, but we're looking at it as it affected the church in Jerusalem. I want you to notice, first of all, the situation that was encountered. This is why this whole matter of the diaconate, we believe, came into being. Certainly why the congregations have votes in who they want either to be their minister and who they want to be their elders and who they want to be their committee members. The congregation has the say in this. Now the situation was this, verse 1. The church was growing. In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. The daily ministration? What's that? Well, it was the distributing of food, the distribution of food. There was not a welfare society then, and God's people had to look out for one another more than what they do today. And I've already said the church was growing, and certain people had been overlooked in the distribution of the food. Now, we're told here about the Grecians were murmuring against the Hebrews. We'll notice just the significance of that in a few moments. But this is the background of that. And we're told here that there was a failure that was apparent, and that was the neglect of this certain group of widows in the church to receive what they should have been getting because others were getting it. Now, I want to say right away, this was not deliberate. It was not racist because there were two particular groups involved here. To me, it seems that the church was getting so big, there was so much to be done, that certain things were not being seen to. And that was because there was not the ability. And there was a breakdown in communication. One group could have been leaving it to the other group to do, and they were surmising it was seen to when it hadn't been seen to at all. Now that can happen. small things, perhaps, and people can be hurt. In this particular instance, it happened. And I want to say to you that the church was getting so big. Turn to chapter 5 and verse 14, and notice what we are told there. Very important to see this. We just don't have time to look at it throughout the opening chapters, but verse 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Notice verse 28. The charge was laid against the apostles here by the religious establishment. Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. This church was evangelizing. This church was reaching out. This church was telling all and sundry about Christ and his finished work and encouraging them to become Christians. The church was growing. Membership was growing. Because if you're reading these opening chapters in the book of Acts, whenever it says that they joined themselves to the apostles, that word means to stick. It's a glue verb. And it means that they threw their lot in entirely. They became committed Christians and committed members with the rest of the church with God's people there in Jerusalem. And all of this was growing at such a rate that they could not keep up with it. And so whenever the widows were receiving what they were receiving, some were being overlooked because those that were seeing to that weren't able to cope with the workload. Human nature being what it is, ladies and gentlemen, there will then tend to be the disgruntled aspect. And this is what happens here. We are frail. Human nature at its best is frail. You've only got to look at the life of the Apostle Peter. You've only got to look at the life of King David, the man after God's own heart. You've only got to look at Abraham, the man who is the father of the faithful and the friend of God. You've only got to look at the disciples who, on different occasions, failed the Lord to know that the best of people have their flaws and the best of people are but people at best. The best of men are but men at best. And this is what was happening at the Jerusalem church. Not only was there the failure, but there was the danger. And the danger was there's going to be a fallout here. There's going to be a cleavage. There's going to be a split. Notice what was happening here. Not only the failure that was apparent, but the danger that was developing. Verse 1. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because the widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Let me say something about this murmuring. This murmuring, when there's a murmuring among the people of God, it has the tendency to sow the seeds of discontent. It has the tendency to bring about great danger to the overall testimony of God's work. It has the tendency to cause a cleavage down the middle of a group of people. It has the tendency to cause what's called a church split. And let me say, it's dangerous both for the congregation, and it's dangerous for the people that are given to the murmuring. And so there was this possibility in this church that there was going to be a big split among them. Now, I want you to turn back with me to Numbers chapter 14. I looked at this yesterday, Friday night, when I was studying this, and I noticed many places where murmuring is mentioned in the Bible. It's never in a good context. But I just want to select one place from the Old Testament and very quickly just mention two in the New Testament. Numbers chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. What was happening here? Things had been going wrong. God told Moses to send out 12 spies. The 12 spies went out. The 12 of them came back. And 10 of them had an evil report to the effect, we can't do this. The other two said, we can do it. God has promised us it would be done. And there was a whole split among them. And you'll see what was happening there in chapter 13. So the congregation in chapter 14 are murmuring. And God watched it. And then he had something to say about it. Notice verse 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation? Now remember, these are the people God had redeemed and brought out of Egypt. But they were breaking his heart. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmured against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ear, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. Ladies and gentlemen, the price of murmuring, even though their feelings were hurt, even though they felt they had been hard done by, they ought not to have murmured. And God says, because of it, because of your unbelief, because you feel I couldn't take care of you when there was a hard situation, all if you're going to be kept out of the promised land, over 20 years old and upward, apart from Joshua and Caleb. Way back in the New Testament, or way over in the New Testament, we read these words in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. And it's a very, in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, a very significant statement, and it just sums up all what we've been reading there. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. That's what Paul's writing to the church at Corinth that was split asunder in various ways. He says, don't be murmuring. The way people murmured in the days of Moses, and God had to deal with them. And in Philippians 2 verse 14, Paul writes, do all things without murmuring. Now, what was the grounds of the murmuring here in Acts 6? Well, we have noticed these two groups of widows. Let's read verse 1 again. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because the widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Who are these Grecians and Hebrews? Well, they're all Jews. But the Grecians were called the Hellenists. They were the Jews from far off parts of the world that had come up to Jerusalem. Their extraction was far off. The Hebrews were the people that lived in Israel. They were the Aramaic-speaking Hebrews, or the Jews. And the Greeks were the Greek-speaking. And so they felt that they were being left out because the church thought they were second-class members. Of course, that was not right thinking. We have seen the church was growing so big, and they couldn't cope with all that had to be done. So there was a big situation arose here that confronted this church. Now, we don't have anything like that, thankfully, at this particular time. But we have need. Both our elders realize the need to increase the session. And one of the reasons is because, and I say it respectfully and reverently, all of us are getting old, but some of them are finding the heat of the day with regard to age and health. Our deacons, we had difficulties, as you know, over the past 4 years or so, which resulted in two or three leaving the church and another moving away far from the area. The only reason that he left was because it was too far for him to come to the church here. But it has left a gap. And there's work, a lot of work in this church. And I would say all our churches, especially in these days when things have to be done, there are strict regulations by law governing a lot of church practice. And our deacons need to have their numbers added to as well. And this has come before us maybe as far back as a year ago. And our elders have given due thought and prayer to it and felt, yes, we need to hearken to this and we need to go to the congregation at a certain time and we need to ask the congregation to vote in more elders and more deacons. And that brings us to this particular time. There is a need in our congregation, different from the need of the church at Jerusalem, but it's still a need and it concerns you. And it concerns our elders, and it concerns our committee members. Now, that's the situation the church encountered. But I want you to notice, secondly, the solution that was proposed to it. This came to the apostles. I want you to notice verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason, that is, it's not fitting, it's not right for us, it's not the best thing to do for all, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose. Now, this was the solution. This came to the notice of the apostles. And the apostles said, we have one big problem here. But we can't leave our responsibilities of prayer and studying and bringing the word of God to this growing church, to the flock of God's people. That's something that we have got to hold fast by. But yet, there's a need here, and it needs to be done. This is what we've got to do. And it lies with you, the congregation in Jerusalem. You choose out seven men. And he gave the qualifications of the seven men there in one of the verses, and we'll look at that another time. But you look out for these men. Now, the problem arose in the congregation, and the apostles are saying, right, you solve it then. You are the people to solve it. I want you to notice there were a couple of things here. First of all, there was the appointment of men. Seven men were needed here. These apostles did not ignore the problem. Neither did they shelve it, but they met it head on. They faced up to it. The leaders took the initiative and they said it needs to be done, but it's not possible for us to do it because of the nature of our work. You look for this. We've got to maintain prayer and the ministry of God's word. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me stop here. Just digress a wee bit from the responsibility of the congregation to elect its office bearers. No matter what problem ever arises, it must never detract from the centrality of the ministry of God's word and prayer. In fact, prayer comes first in this instance. Notice what the apostle said there in verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The importance of prayer. Let me ask the congregation, do we really appreciate the bedrock of the church here? Because if the church is not a praying church or a preaching church, it's not going to succeed. And if it's not a praying church, the preaching of the word is going to be hard work with regard to its effectiveness. And that's why there are prayer meetings here before the services on Sunday. Yes, the preaching of God's word is central, but it's undergirded by prayer. And that's why there's always the pleading for God's people to get to the prayer meetings. And since it's a long while from Sunday to Sunday, that's why we have a Wednesday night session where the word of God is taught and where prayer is given the prominent place. Now, what are you doing about it, those of you who profess to be Christians and members of the church? Are you neglecting the importance of prayer and the ministry of God's word? The apostle said it's central. So no matter what the problem, keep the main things, the ministry of God's word and prayer. So the appointment of men was needed. And hopefully this is what we're going to have in our session and in our committee come the middle of next month. But notice not only did the solution require the appointment of men, it required the involvement of the membership. Notice what the apostle said here in verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men. Verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. Verse 6. Whom they set before the apostles. So you can see there's the responsibility here and the opportunity for the membership of the church at Jerusalem to deal with the issue that had arisen, that had been adversely affected. And now here was the opportunity to put matters to rights by the congregation getting involved in their vote. So ladies and gentlemen, and young people who are communicant members of the church, there is an opportunity and the duty for you to gather here on that particular occasion and bring your vote to the notice of those who will be conducting the election. And there will be a minister and elders from one of our other churches. There's got to be the involvement of the membership. Now, there are two things with regard to this involvement. First of all, there's got to be availability. You might say, I don't come out on Wednesday night. Well, that's between you and the Lord. You'll have to answer for that. But let me say this. On such a crucial issue of who your elders, new elders, and additional committee members are going to be, you should make a point of making yourself available on that particular night. You say, well, I have a heavy workload. Well, you know well in advance. It's 5 weeks or so ahead, whenever, 6 weeks, whatever it is. Surely you can make an adjustment to your schedule on that particular night and come and vote. Make yourself available. And by the way, let me say this to the male members of our church, men who are in membership of the church at least 1 year. Let me say to you, make yourself available for the congregation to choose you if it's God's will. God reveals His will through the vote of the people. Don't say, unless you're bad health, don't say, well, I've too much on Wednesday night. My dear friend, if you love the Kirk, if you love the church as much as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, we ought to be knocking ourselves about a wee bit now and again. Men, God may have a work for you to do in days to come in the session or diaconate of the church. Make yourself available and let Him, through the vote of the people, make the choice. And if you're elected, take it that it's the Lord that does it. If you're not elected, take it. The Lord's will for you lies in another way. I remember quite a number of years ago, one of our office bearers, he's dead now. Somehow or another, he made it plain that his name was not to go on the list, but it was overlooked. We don't know what happened, whether he made it. He did on one or two elections previous, but I can't remember the details of it. Even whenever the congregational meeting was held and we saw the names, we didn't even realize then that one of the men that was elected had said that he didn't want his name to go forward. So we called it a story. He wasn't at the congregational meeting that night for some reason. He never missed Wednesday night meetings, but he wasn't there that night. Another elder and myself went to the door and said, we want to tell you that you've been elected to the committee. What? He said, I wasn't even to be considered. I says, well, the Lord has overruled us all and you're on. And that man was in his 70s whenever he was elected and served this church faithfully and diligently for many years after that. Make yourself available, friend. Make yourself available to hold office if you're a male. And if you're a member of the church, male and female, make yourself available and come and vote on that particular night. The activity of the member, not only to make himself available, but the activity is to vote. That means there are at least three things involved. Be thoughtful about your vote. Be prayerful about your vote. And remember, the man that you'll be voting for will need your support and love and understanding if he's elected to the office of the session or committee. I have some verses, but the time is gone, so we leave them and just give them to you. In the case of elders, 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and 13, Hebrews 13, 7, 17 and 24, and these, while they're primarily applicable to elders, they can apply to all your office bearers, elders or deacons. But let me come to one last thing. We have seen, first of all, the situation that was encountered. We have seen the solution that was proposed. I want you to notice, lastly, the satisfaction that was experienced. Now, notice what happened. The congregation made its choice. Notice verse 5. The saying pleased the whole multitude. Now, there's the satisfaction. We don't read about the whole multitude being pleased in verse 1 because there was a murmuring among them. But God had guided the apostles with this solution. And the congregation, the thousands of them in Jerusalem, were really pleased and satisfied about this. They said, right, we'll see to this. And they came, and whatever way they had their meeting, whatever way they had their vote, they got seven men. And you have their names in verse 5. And then verse 6, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Now, you can notice, first of all, about this satisfaction. They were satisfied because of the opportunity that was given. The congregation felt that it had been hurt, at least some of them, that section of it, that were aggrieved. So now they're satisfied. They've been given the opportunity to redress the situation. And not only that, but by having enough people to see to this aspect of the work in the Church of Jerusalem. But they were not only satisfied at the opportunity to make their choice, they were satisfied at the outcome of their choice. And if you notice those seven names, there's a mixture in them. People not just from around Jerusalem. There was a blend of from the two groups of Greek-speaking Jews and the Aramaic-speaking Jews, the Greeks and the Hebrews. And so they're really pleased. But notice another outcome that there was here. Verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. There was the outcome. The word of God was making a renewed and tremendous impact in the locality. And all of that, now keep it in mind, all of that, because there was an election, and the congregation voted for men that they needed to do a specific work in the church. And if we approach our election prayerfully and thoughtfully and joyfully, we have the opportunity of doing something on that particular night that can make this church to be a mighty blessing in this borough and further afield in years to come. So my dear brother and sister, humanly speaking, it lies with you. You have a tremendous opportunity, privilege and responsibility of deciding who your additional elders and additional deacons will be for this church, for you and for its testimony. Don't miss the opportunity on that Wednesday night, the 12th of October. And between now and then, make it a matter of prayer that God will guide us all on that particular night. Let's bow together in prayer.